our last best hope is science. It is the evidence. And read the SUA, recent study of black boxes in cars where the driver swore blind they were pressing on the brake, found in fact pressing hard on the accelerator. The evidence for climate change is in the observation. It's in the temperature records. The last 12 months is the warmest in history. The temperature is going up, and there are NOAA, which is a scientific body in the States, has released information on 10 completely separate indicators that show that the temperature is going up. Global warming is a fact. And it's interesting that those who deny global warming are now mounting an attack on science itself. The same kind of attack that was mounted by the tobacco companies against epidemiology and the issue of smoking and lung cancer.
And you know, what's really interesting there is a lot of these popular delusions are, I think, anti-scientific symbols in a growing skeptical or secular age, where every time someone sees a flying saucer or a moa or a yowie, subconsciously there's a message there. Well, science says religion isn't real. Science says this, science says that. Science doesn't have all the answers, and they could be wrong, and I think it undermines, these popular delusions often undermine the role of science. There's a hidden message there. Yep.
Can I just comment? I don't think it's really global warming that's the problem. It's when scientists don't actually come out and criticise things like blaming Katrina on global warming and things like that, which, you know, is just because there's so many humans in the way of these things that naturally occur.
Sure, and Hurricane Katrina was what? Hurricane Katrina was about a category 4 or 5, depending on who you listen to, and Hurricane Katrina was a human-created problem. It certainly wasn't global warming. It was a human-created problem. And New Orleans, if anybody's been to New Orleans, Louisiana, it is 10 feet below sea level. It has been described as a giant bowl. It was a human-created disaster waiting to happen.
In terms of one of the comments about how do we address these things, how do we inoculate ourselves and, I guess, the broader society against delusions, I think, yes, we can use science. That will only work for a small proportion of people, I suspect. One of the other things we can do is look at what is there in popular culture that can be used to provide the inoculation. And one of the things I've always wondered is, if the film of The Crucible, the Arthur Miller play about the Salem witch trials, they had a film with Daniel Day-Lewis, which was very popular. If that had come out 2 years earlier, before, say, the Peter Ellis case and a whole number of those cases around the world, whether that would have provided a certain inoculative effect by just making a small amount of awareness of the potential for us to take on these kinds of delusions.
Would make the point that the cops and the Peter Ellis case were well aware of the McMartin case, but were quite managed to persuade themselves that theirs was a real case.
And you know, one of the big things too is you have to admit that you're wrong. And I'm going to say right now, I probably should have used the microphone because I've heard this slight echo even when I'm holding the mic here, and I probably didn't have to shout at you. So I apologize for that, and especially the American audience. Yep.
We've talked here about the Peter Ellis case, and I'm beginning to wonder whether we're treating the Peter Ellis case much as we're treating the Salem witch trials. Oh, that's something that happened 20 years ago in New Zealand, we're all past that. I don't think we're past that. We have George Wasey at the moment, Graham Cleghorn in Cambodia, and a large number of other people. I myself am a victim of wholesale allegation of sexual abuse. I know what the consequences are. And also, one of the observations that I make about my own experience is there is a firm desire on people's parts to want to believe. You know, the experience that I had was that of all the people that I told that I was falsely accused, pretty well everybody believed me. Of all the people that my ex-wife told about what happened, they all believed her. There was probably about one person I knew who was willing to sit in the middle in a scientific sort of position and say, I don't know. and I'm quite intrigued by that. We want to believe things. We want to be sure of things. We go for the strong politicians who say things. This is right. The John Banks of Muldoon and so on. It's just our nature of who we are.
I think you should be commended for talking about that, because it's something very difficult to talk about, because these things tend to stick. In the Northern Territory, my wife and I were labeled as incompetent remote school teachers. Okay? We put everything on the website. We put all the documents on the website and said, decide for yourself. And then we applied for jobs. We were fortunate to get jobs because they just made it up. But so many people out there don't necessarily make it up, but they confabulate, and it gets created, and it just creates a monster, doesn't it? It creates a monster. Isn't that so much nicer now that I'm using the microphones? I'm so sorry that I was yelling at all of you for so long. Yep.
Of a possible similarity is the South Canterbury Finance other thing that's going on at the moment. Now, I have no idea whether he's a crook or not. That doesn't matter. But it seems to me now that the Serious Fraud Office are busy trying to cover. They've actually criticised him because he kept his accounting in a paper ledger rather than using a computer. So I'm wondering if they're already looking to cover their ass.
Yeah, I'm not an expert in that area, but it sounds very plausible. I think that's very good.
I've got a question about SUA, and what's a bit of a puzzle. It's nothing new. Back in the early 80s, there was a very similar case with the Audi car in America, and it resulted in legal action that went on and on, and Peter Huber wrote it up in his excellent book called Junk Science. And I'm wondering why Toyota and the motor industry didn't just use that similar case to demolish this.
You know, Michael Fumento, who was instrumental in uncovering this, went to Toyota, and they didn't want to talk to him. It's a mystery. And often, I'll give you a really quick example. In 1999, there was a famous Belgian Coke case where some students at a school in Belgium drank Coca-Cola, and they got sick. They rushed into the hospital, and they seemed fine. So it was nausea, very transient symptoms. And this got reported in the media that they had drank Coca-Cola and gotten sick. Well, nearly 1,000 people, mostly students, over the next few weeks got sick from drinking Coke and Coke products. Coke came out and apologized. They said it was a fungicide that had been on the pallets that had rubbed onto some of the cans, and you got it as you drank it. It wasn't true. The further investigation found that even though Coke admitted to that, it wasn't true. It was, they put a bit too much fizz in the can, and they had it had a slight odor to it, but it was completely harmless, and it was all based on perception. And so sometimes when these delusions are happening, especially in the early stages, everybody gets caught up, even the people accused, such as these big companies.
I think your point about sort of the universities taking this on, because if you think about the Salem witch trials and in the Peter Ellis case, if you're a male, for example, you're not going to jump in and support Peter Ellis. I think with those two examples, that, you know, there's that danger, and the witch trials as well. If someone jumped in there, they're most likely the next ones to be. And I think your idea of, the, of sort of a group taking that sort of mantle on, just sort of as the skeptic says, I think that's a great idea.
I mean, look, folks. 1952, the Bible of the psychiatric community, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Homosexuality was a disease. And we ship that in America all around the world. It's a disease. Oh, you don't think it's a disease? No, it's a disease. And then in the 60s, they redefined it as a disorder. And then in May of 1974, based on a vote of members of the American Psychiatric Association, American Psychiatric Association, it was relabeled again as a preference. Now, it's popular beliefs in one country really affecting science. And that shouldn't be happening. But it does. Somebody had a hand up? Yep.
I think one of the big things with the climate change debate is that we've got three or four groups who are deluded, arguing with each other. So that we've got the we're green, we can save the planet by being a sustainable, deluded group, arguing with the it's business as usual, nothing's going to happen, deluded group, and a bunch of others in between, because when you look at the science, there is so much CO2 in the rest of the system that the system is going to change by itself now that it's started. And the idea that you can somehow wind it back by all, you know, running around in you know, bicycles ain't going to work.
And, you know, I blame, and I know there's a presentation coming up on the media, I blame a lot of this on the media. On the media for, I used to be a member of the media, and there are a few scientists out there that believe Bigfoot's real. There are a few scientists out there, a number of them, that think we're being visited by extraterrestrials. And you can always find a few rogue scientists, or people that think that you shouldn't take vaccines. You can always find them, and the media tends to spotlight these individuals. Because the purpose of the media, although they try to be fair, unless you're watching Fox News, fair and balanced is a trademark. It is a trademark for them.
And they lost
the case that they Yeah, it's Fox News. Just if you want to get angry, watch Fox News. I mean, for one side of news, the anti-Obama channel. But the media tends to give voice to rogue, so-called rogue experts. And I have a PhD, certainly doesn't make me smarter than anybody else, because I screamed at you here for the first 30 minutes. And so it doesn't mean you have good judgment. And so there are people out there, these are open to interpretation, right? I mean, maybe there are space aliens, maybe very likely there's aliens somewhere out in space, but given the vast distances, have they visited us? Some scientists look at the evidence and say, yeah, I think they have. Some of these reports, I think they're space aliens. Okay, fine, it doesn't mean they're incompetent. However, it doesn't mean we have to accept it because it's an interpretation. The vast majority of scientists would say, well, I need the evidence. For Bigfoot, give me the fossil, the body, your bones. Show me the piece of the crash saucer that could not have been made by 2010 technology. They look for evidence. So the media tends to amplify them, and make no mistake, the bottom line of the media is money. They are a business, and they are in business to make money. Now that doesn't mean journalists are out there being dishonest, but if I give a presentation here and say that I think UFOs aren't real, because what's a UFO? It's an object in the sky that can't be identified. Technically a UFO. It doesn't mean it's a space alien spacecraft going around our skies. But if I give a presentation for an hour talking about why I don't believe in UFOs, then somebody asks me a question, and I say, is it possible? I said, well, it's possible. Space aliens are here. And I listen to the radio, and they're saying, Robert Bartholomew says it's possible. Space aliens are here. That's the nature of the media. If 50 times I help a little old lady across the street, and that doesn't get reported on the news, but if on the 51st time, someone knocks her down, grabs her purse, and runs off, that makes the news. You know, those things tend to make news. Things that are extraordinary. If you got a scientist at Harvard University like John Mack was, saying that he believes people are being abducted by space aliens, well, people tend to pay attention. Now, there might have been 100 other people in the same faculty who didn't believe that, but the media latches onto that and reports it. A couple other questions. Okay.
This was going with the Fox News sort of thing. In the States, a lot of people believe that Obama was a Muslim, he was in Sharia law, all that thing. And there was huge fear that this Arab was going to take away Christianity. He's a socialist, he's a communist, plus the Muslim. And that. So is that more sort of political bias, or is it sort of?
I see that as popular delusions prey on people's fears. They prey on people's fears and their hopes. And fear is very powerful. That's probably why George Bush got reelected after September 11th. Fear. But you can only keep the adrenaline going so long. Look at the bird flu scare. I mean, it was going to... And they show people on TV calling the birds, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, calling the birds. And